Yeah, right.
All right, so guys, we are back with the macro and the mindset. We're going to switch it up a little bit, and we decided we want to talk about something that is probably, it's kind of talked about, but everyone gets real weird about it. So we're not weird about it, so we're going to talk about it. And that is just this idea of a lot of fitness professionals, myself included, are not parents, and most of the people we work with are parents. Mike is lucky to have been on both sides now, having worked as a nutrition coach and a business owner for a long time when he didn't have kids, and then transitioning to that of having children. So, kind of, we're gonna let you take the reins on this since you're the one with experience in this realm, and we'll kind of, I'll just kind of chime in with my two cents and where maybe I think that I've struggled and also grown in this process.
Yeah, so this is one of those things where and I believe you had a post recently, which I thought was great about not having to be something to understand something.
Yep.
So in this sense, like I most of my coaching career, I didn't have kids, but I helped a lot of parents that did have kids. And I thought I knew what it was like. I got a lot of things right, but I got a lot of things wrong. And a lot of those things that I got wrong, we can talk about today and maybe help other fitness professionals because until you're in these weeds, you honestly, this is one of those things like you just, it's just a lack of awareness because you're not around it. It doesn't mean you're not empathetic or you don't care or you're not smart. It just means that, holy crap, I never actually thought about that situation. And now I do. And now I'm maybe a little more equipped to coach these parents.
Yeah, so I'm gonna just give my like kind of two cents of it because like I feel like I've learned so much about it, and this is gonna sound funny, but like the biggest growth for me in working with parents is watching Louis C.K. specials, because like there's this one moment where he talks about, he's like, my daughter coughed in my mouth, or like you and I had this conversation, like he talks about one time, I like, put your shoes on, and they're like, no. He's like,
Dude,
think about
yeah.
if one of your friends was like, no, I'm just not gonna put my shoes on. You're like, that guy would be an asshole.
Yeah. Dude, it's the craziest thing. And I posted like a funny, stupid example post a while back about like how like coaching adults is a lot like having children. Like it's just like you give advice, you tell them to do something, and they just don't do it. And people are like, oh, well, I don't parent that way. And I'm like, oh my God, shut the fuck up. Like, why do you pretend that everything has to be so gentle parenting perfect? Like, dude, you tell your kids to do things sometimes and they don't do it. Or you get them dressed and they get undressed and then you're like, we have to leave. Or and these are these examples, right? Like you can have dinner in the oven, and then something could go down, and it's game over. Dinner is ruined. I'm ordering Uber Eats. And that's like the stuff we have to anticipate because it's like nothing else, man.
It's so funny because it's like, I don't have kids. And one of the, I remember writing an email and sending it out, and like, probably one of the best like received emails and Instagram posts that I turned it into. Everyone was just like, I don't get it. You know what? I can be, if I'm really tired in the middle of the day, I'm gonna take a nap.
Right. That we
And
can't
there's
do that.
no one that can stop me from doing that.
And that's one of those things, like when we think about like Stronger You was big, like macros, like people were tracking. And when you think about it, it's like, okay, anybody can kind of do this if they, practice a little bit, set up their day, have the foods prepped and planned. Like it's rather easy. But now looking back, I probably would have at least defaulted to just calories and protein to make life easier. And even in that case, like it's wild to ask. And many times it does fall on the mom to do a lot of this stuff. And I've made jokes that people give me a lot of credit for building the business I built and this little story, but I'm like, dude, the like stay-at-home moms and stay-at-home parents, they have it harder than all these entrepreneurs. That is so much more difficult, so much more demanding than anything that any business person is doing. And it's just so crazy because when you have like this little human life that you're responsible for, like your macros don't matter, your workouts don't matter, your sleep is screwed up, nothing goes right. Your steps, maybe you get 2,000 a day at times. Like who the hell knows? So we have to think about those scenarios. And for food stuff, for a lot of these clients, I probably would have just made it so much easier, I think, and just set expectations a little bit differently, because a lot of these, especially new moms, are like, I want to get back to where I was 9 months ago. And it's let's hold up, because you did something really beautiful and you need to appreciate this. And by the way, going back to where you were might compromise the nutrition of your child. So maybe don't rush this thing.
Yeah, and like I think about one of the things that I have like really become a bigger proponent of in recent times, especially when you're talking about like if there's a two parent household where both parents are going back to work, and this is obviously the biggest thing of this too is I think all of us think of where we start off in this business thinking very much of like everything is just static. This is just how it works. But I think so much more in seasons now and change and someone with a one newborn versus someone with two toddlers is two totally different scenarios. And so a couple that's both going back to work that has a newborn, a lot of times I'm gonna be like, hey, can you guys order like meals that can you have in your freezer? Even if it's not for every day as a backup, because it's almost like, what can we prepare for the worst, automate the best, and just be like, in all honesty, you guys are gonna both get home at 6 o'clock, you're gonna be exhausted, you're gonna grab the baby, like just throw something in the oven or the microwave, like that might be the solution. Because cooking, while yes, it is the ideal situation, it teaches us all about nutrition. If it
Dude,
doesn't happen, it just doesn't matter.
and this is exactly how it goes, man. Like, if I cook or Krista cooks, one of the kids is up our ass, like climbing on our legs, yelling mommy, yelling daddy. You can hardly focus, let alone measure things in that situation. So we're like, so many times we do order out, but we just order like something that's pretty decent. I couldn't tell you the exact macros or calories, but I can tell you it's probably within a certain range that makes me feel okay.
And it's and that's why I really like so many of these meal prep services have come such a long way. Like I haven't gotten it yet, but there's one that a company that comes up all over my Instagram that I've actually been sending to clients, like just meats. Because it's a little more expensive at first. I was like, oh man, this is like $11 a pound for chicken or $12 a pound for chicken. But then I realized it's cooked chicken. So when you actually add in the factor that in the, that add that extra third of a pound of raw versus cooked, all of a sudden you're looking at like, oh, this is actually way more cost effective than I thought. It's already cooked, it's already seasoned. All I have to do is heat it up. We know that carb sources and fat sources and vegetables we are really simple in a lot of ways because we can buy frozen, we can buy canned carbs. I mean, you can eat a
They're
piece of pizza
everywhere.
if you want.
Yeah.
Like, it's
Right.
fine,
Dude,
right?
I do that all the time. I'm like, oh, I need more calories. Oh, I'm gonna have a piece of bread. And
And like it can be
it's
really simple, and there's lots of like, and we buy like these really good par-baked baguettes that you throw in the oven for like 10 minutes at like 350, and it's the best baguette anywhere around. It's awesome. And then like I'm a, even though he's having a rough week, David Chang, but I'm a huge fan of those Momofuku ramen packets.
Dude, we
Dude, they
have
are incredible.
yeah, he's getting a lot of shit because he's trying to trademark Chili Crunch.
The Asian American community is not happy with him right now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's tough, man. It's we'll have
Well,
to talk
and
about
like a guy like
the
Sasha.
trademark story, my trademark story on the podcast one day. I
Yeah,
posted it in my
all right, cool.
story.
That'll be a good, we'll do that. That'll be a good
Dude,
episode.
it's insane.
And
Go
so
on.
like we kind of talk like so there's a couple things and I'm gonna put these two you made in the notes. Like I wanna put them hand to hand because we talk about like workouts and sleep. And I like you put in here like a workout an hour, like you're like, oh, I'm gonna do my hour, half hour to the gym, hour workout, half hour home. Dude, I don't have kids and like I have trouble managing that in my schedule. When I think about 2 to 3 hours out of my day, I'm like, I just can't do that anymore. Like that's just not in the cards right now.
Right. Oh, hold on. We could keep this on. Babe, I'm on a podcast. One sec.
Perfect.
Right. This is life, man. This is life. So the workouts, right? Like, how many times have we seen our buddies? How many times are we guilty of saying, oh, you could find an hour, you could harvest that time better and get to the gym for an hour. But it's how long does it take you to get to the gym? You're probably gonna want to shower after. You're going to have to eat your post-workout meal, blah, blah, blah. Like, this isn't just an hour. This is extremely demanding, which is why, especially now with lots of people working from home, like people are building out their cool little garage gyms or even dedicating a corner of a room to a little gym. And it's like, we're all kind of like, I think we all kind of came up as like accidental fitness snobs. Like there were times where, like, if you didn't have a barbell, I thought you were working out poorly, or if you didn't squat, like your legs wouldn't be in good shape or whatever. And it's like we learn that you can do a lot of good things with body weight. You can do a lot of good things with bands and dumbbells, and all this stuff can happen in your home. So if your parent client doesn't want to go to the gym, which we think is probably better, right? Like they can still do something that's awesome. And that's why you and I, we had so many clients that were Peloton riders. We'd be like, hey, like if you want to build some muscle, like you're not just going to pedal your way to muscle. You're probably going to have to do something else. Here are some suggestions, like the Power Block dumbbells. I have two sets of them. I love them, dude. And for anyone that doesn't know, they're little, it's a little, when you first see them, they seem very expensive because they're multiple different sets. They just have these interlocking little, like, I don't know what you call it, like this little tooth-like thing that goes into different weights, and the same handle is so many different weights. And I'm a big fan of those. No, we're not sponsored by Power Block. They're great. So
Anything like that. There's a new about, and there's new ones coming out all the time that are like different kind of versions that look a little bit more like regular dumbbells. But I always come back to Ben Bruno trains people that, are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and that's what he has for what he has that, like a weight vest and some, he has like a small barbell. But like, I remember asking him one time, me and Sean, Heisen and him were out at dinner, and Sean's like, how often do your clients squat with like a barbell? He's like, dude, I'm in LA. If I made someone squat with a barbell, I wouldn't have clients.
yeah, you and that's kind of the thing too. It's like a little sidebar here, but you have to have some novelty with some clients, or they're just not going to do it.
And so we think about these workouts. And so like one of the things that I've actually come around to a lot is because a lot of people just want consistency, right? Like they want to go 5 days a week. And it's like, oh, well, you'd be better off doing 3 full body days or 2 full body days or whatever. But that 2 hours or 3 hours out of their day twice a week might be more detrimental. So it might mean a 30-minute workout every day, which, and we come back to everyone talked about how like body part splits suck. But like if you could do like chest Monday, back Tuesday, legs Wednesday, shoulders Thursday, arms Friday, and you could at least get like a little half hour workout in every day, and you're going to be like a lot of people just want that. And it's easier for me, like going to jujitsu 5 mornings a week at 6 a.m. is easier than going 3 mornings a week because it's just consistently waking up at the same time, same routine, same thing. And so that kind of falls into the sleep thing because I know we all push the sleep thing, but like for some people, that getting up early is going to be the beneficial thing just because nothing can really get in the way of that. Hopefully, like, hopefully your kid's not up sick or like you're waking up. But like, for the most part, you're not going to have work stuff come into play. You're not going to have some random appointment pop up. Nothing's going to happen. And so, like, that early morning, and then hopefully that ends up leading to a little bit earlier bedtime.
Right.
That's usually where the discussion gets tough because, again, parents, you don't have any time to yourself until the kids are down. And then it's like, man, I just want to have some me time.
That's a good point, and one I was hoping we were going to talk about too, because there's so many people that are like, forget your Netflix, forget your movies, forget your video games, go to bed. It is so much better. Your hunger is going to be great. You're going to be well rested and happier and blah blah blah. It's like, yeah, but life is crazy, especially if you're a working parent, when you don't want to just sleep is hitting a reset button to a life that you might not want to get right back into. So
That's a
if
really good point.
I'm going to meme that one. So if you could, right, if you could hang out with your spouse and watch 2 hours of Netflix instead of sleeping, like that's really important for connection and enjoyment and leisure time. And if sleep is compromised in that case, like so be it, because sometimes it has to be, because those are the only periods of time that you might have for yourself. And like Krista and I are pretty much full-time parents. Almost every single day we're with these kids from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to bed. And the only time we have outside of like their naps to ourselves is at the end of the night. And so we just chill and we watch TV and we have a great time and we bullshit and we laugh and blah, blah, blah. So if sleep is compromised, so be it. I have a better relationship with my wife than I do with my bed, you know?
Well, and that's really important too, because one of the things, and I'm 45, about to be 46. I have lots of friends who've been married. I've got friends now who have kids in college. I got family members whose kids are in college, right? And there's this weird thing that happens with a lot of couples where their relationship basically is put on hold for 18, 20 years because all of the focus goes towards the kids and they don't put any time into their nurturing that relationship. And it's like all of a sudden they're two different people. And you see so many divorces happen when the kids are out of the house because all of a sudden they're like, oh, we don't have anything in common anymore. And it's like, man, like we really want to nurture all of the relationships. And I think, like you said, that 2 hours of Netflix could be this little thing or talking or saying, like, man, like I had a tough day, like communicating your own needs. And I think that's really something that often gets lost when people have kids.
Yeah, and then add on top of that, like even when you want to sleep as a parent of a new kid, like you don't, it's not your choice. I mean, so like another fitness professional makes a, you know, this is where this thought is stemming from. Like we as fitness professionals are like, lift weights, go do this, go do that, go to sleep, go for walks, do this. But the second someone is like, eat less in a post, someone is like, the fit pros are like, oh, don't ever say that. It's not that easy. It's like, you guys fucking realize it's not that easy to do anything. Any of this stuff
No.
is not easy. So when you post some blanket, get to the gym, go to sleep, go for a walk. Yes, it's the same version as eat less. If we're going to give more nuance to the eat less argument, we better give more nuance to all these discussions as well. And sleep is one of the big things. And that's another thing I didn't realize. Like you hear like, oh, my kid doesn't sleep. And you're like, well, everyone exaggerates. It's probably not that bad. Well, sometimes Lucy will wake up every fucking hour for the entire night. We have like we look, I don't even wear my Apple Watch to sleep anymore because I don't want the bad news when I look at my sleep. I don't want it.
Well, that's the best thing about 6 a.m. jiu-jitsu is like almost all the other dudes have kids, and like one of my buddies came in one day. He's like, he's like, what? I was like, what's wrong with you? He's like, my kid came in at like 3:30 and just punched me in the dick. It's like I was like, what? He's like, yeah. He's like, I don't know why. Or my kid just threw up in our bed at like 4 in the morning, and it's
And
like.
our kids can't escape their little cages right now. You know,
Yeah.
relax,
Well,
guys.
and
My kids in
yeah.
cages, they're in cribs, but they look like cages.
Yeah, well, sometimes you throw them in the cage, right? Like
Yeah, right.
sometimes it's like, hey,
But
we're
we're
going to the
looking
basement,
forward.
we're going to the cage tonight.
We're looking forward, I don't know why, to when our oldest is in a little toddler bed. But it's like, wait, she can escape the room at that point. So it's like, all right, then childproofing has to go even higher than it is. She might break into the little one's room. She's definitely going to come and punch us in the, you know what. So I don't know, why am I messing with that? She's great. She doesn't climb out of the crib and she's good.
Yeah, but again, you know, and that's and it's and again we talk about seasons, right? Because right now you're in one season, and then when you have one toddler that's able to sleep in the toddler bed, right, then that's another, and then there's gonna be two, and then you're gonna ha then you then at some point you're gonna ha move into having teenage girls, which holy shit, that sounds like a nightmare.
You know, the worst part of all this is like when that happens, I'm gonna be like an old man. Like, I mean, I'm not gonna feel like it. Just like at 41, I don't feel like an old dude. I'm
Yeah.
sure like if I'm around a bunch of 20-year-olds, they're like, who's this fucking gray-bearded maniac? But yeah, that's like a thought. I don't, and another like a little parenting tip is like, don't rush through this stuff just to get to a season of life that seems a little easier because you don't get this shit back. And it is like, this is just like, saying this to a non-parent is probably hard to understand, but like last night, I'm just sitting there watching my kids run around on the floor. And I'm like, this only happens so many more times. So I pay such close attention to it. And it is, again, like I still, like, I do want to do like a more in-depth, like, why I sold my business post or even podcast if we wanted. But the biggest reason was because of that. Like, when you hear of everyone's main driver of happiness and regret in life, it's about spending time with kids and getting out of another meeting that I didn't need to be in was the biggest driver. So, like, parents, don't rush through this stuff because you're going to look at pictures and want to relive that. So, just live it now.
Yeah, and you know we in the pursuit of efficiency and productivity we've overcomplicated so many things in life. I started watching Ripley last night, which is like a new take on Talented Mr. Ripley, and it's all in like black and white, and it takes like place in 50s Naples, and you're just looking at the simplicity of that life, and it's like,
Yeah.
man,
If everyone could adopt some of those things, it'd be great. Like one of my biggest fears is like the smartphone social media game for up and coming kids. Like, when do you do it? And is your kid going to be the one that doesn't have the phone and feel like an outcast because all the other parents couldn't say no to their kid? Like, that's
Like
if.
everyone's so upset about the ban on social media in Florida because it's DeSantis that's doing it. But like,
Yeah.
I'm sitting there going,
Good. What is it,
yeah, I
16
mean,
or something?
is this stuff really helpful? Yes, it maybe allows them to connect in a little way, but is there another thing that maybe someone, does this open up the door for someone in tech to say, hey, can we create a safer model or something that is,
Right.
because the big lie we were told about tech bros in the technology world was that they were this benevolent alternative to the old money world that was just there to take, and they were gonna
Like the
kill
oil
everyone with
tycoons,
tech.
yeah, they're the
Yeah,
new
and what
oil.
is it? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And so like we talk about, obviously nutrition is our main focus with what we do. And so again, meals is how do we create, and it's kind of, I'm honestly, this is really my main thing with everyone in all behaviors is like, how can we make things easier? I think we spent so much time sometimes making things more complex in the past, and now we're like, oh shit, like we just need to make everything easier on everybody. We don't need to make them, we want them to gain skills and get better at things, but how can we do that easier?
Yeah, that I think is this is where like Chris and I deal with this sometimes, because I'm much more likely to just I'll be like, oh, can I just grill chicken and we'll like have potatoes and vegetables or something, and she'll be like, oh, I want something a little more robust, and I'm like, well, this is the sacrifice we want, because more robust or more delicious or complex or whatever you want to call it means a kid is pulling at our feet the whole time we're trying to cook. So what is it you want? And parents and non-parents, like everybody wants their meals to be so elaborate and so delicious, and they see these macro-friendly recipes on the internet, and it's like 12 ingredients and 14 steps, and I'm like, God damn, just maybe just have like a meat, a vegetable, and a carb source, and maybe like just bake it and don't cook it until eternity. Like, that's how people friggin' they're like, Mike, how do you make chicken that's not dry? I don't know. I cook it until it's done and no longer than that. Or get a crock pot, buy a rotisserie chicken and rip that thing apart with your hands. That's what I do. We have a system.
Hundred
Crystal will
times.
go to the store. She'll buy a rotisserie chicken. I'll let that thing cool down and I will just go to town on it with my hands,
Yeah.
throw it in Tupperware, done. And yes, these things will be more expensive, but
Kind of, but a rotisserie
yeah.
chicken is $6 or $7, and like, how much does a chicken
Yeah.
cost now?
I
Uncooked,
don't know. Yeah.
right? I mean, I think an uncooked chicken is probably like at least $5 or $6, and you take out the time that it takes to cook it, and so. There's a lot of, and Costco now has pre-pulled rotisserie chicken.
Yeah, there you go.
Even on nights when I go to do MMA or striking classes, I know I don't get home until like 7 or 7:15. So like those nights, it's like that's like momofuku noodles and rotisserie chicken, and then a salad, right? Like it's just like it, that takes, and when I say literally, it takes 5 minutes,
Yeah.
or add the boiling time of the water, 10, and like that's me without kids, without really anything that's holding me back, but. Even then, it's like I know that I want to eat at a certain time because I want to get to bed at a certain time.
Yeah, and these are
And
like the little sacrifices that people have to make, and there's no real way around this stuff. I think if you just accept like simple meals, you're just gonna be in such a better place.
well, I think it comes down to like is like I'm lucky in that that's something I never really think about because that's how I was raised. We had meat, potatoes, and vegetables every night, and that's just what I think of as food. And so I'm not looking for a big casserole or like some kind of fancy like that. And on the weekends, sure, yeah, like I got time, like let's do it, let's have a great like cool meal. But like thinking about that in terms of that, and then kind of the last thing, because closing out on this is actually two things. I really like the support here because you said like an afternoon workout can be a mental health savior. So if you can stop by any time, it would be great. Like. It's really true. Like I, and again, we come back to this idea you're talking about earlier about like, oh, if you don't have a barbell and you're not doing XYZ, part of the issue I think is in the fitness world, there's this assumption that everyone's main goal is hypertrophy and fat loss. And
Yeah.
it's like, there's other benefits to this stuff, and that can be like, it doesn't have to be the optimal hypertrophy building workout. You don't have to get at least 12 sets per body part per week in order to get benefits from
Right.
exercise.
So we used to have, and we have to tell her to simmer down and don't go too hard, but someone that would go to Orange Theory twice a day because of the mental aspect. Like she just loved it. And obviously there's like, slippery slope there. Like two times, okay, don't push yourself. Don't and it was different classes, so it wasn't like super repetitive. But like people, if you can support someone that just had a kid or doesn't have a lot of help, do it. Offer the help. And I say this as someone who does not get help. Like, I have a theory that, well, first, we don't have a lot of family around. Second, both of us don't work. We're parents. So I don't think people think of us as someone that needs help. You know what I mean? So I don't fault people in our lives for not coming by to like always help out with something. But if someone in the afternoon was like, hey, I'll watch the kids, you guys go for a walk. Oh my God, I would love that. So like if you can do that for a parent, think about doing that because that's like more valuable than $1,000. Like just go relieve them for a little bit. And a lot of times maybe that's the husband too. Like, I mean, I don't want to like generalize, but the dads of today are way better than they used to be, but some still need a lot of work, I think. And that probably includes me. I'm probably blind to some stupid things that I'm not doing.
Well, and it's like things that I work with my clients on such a daily basis is really just that communication. And whether you're a coach, whether you're a spouse, whether you're a friend, just like putting it out there repeatedly, like, hey, if you need anything, like, please don't hesitate. I'm gonna ask and say, like, I'm here. Like, and I tell clients all the time, I'm like, I know you've got a rough week coming up. Like, if you just need to text me, just preface it with like, I don't need help, I just want a bitch. Like, and that's cool too. And sometimes that's all someone needs is just someone to listen. But we have a friend who just had a baby, and it's like all the time, it's like, hey, if you want us to watch him, like, we'll totally do it. Like, when you're ready to, like, if you just need to go, because A, it's like our, it's our friend nephew, it's like, so it's also like building that relationship there. But it's also just knowing that, like, see, especially when seeing our friends have like their first kid, and you're like, and I've seen so many of our friends and family have that first kid that you're like, I know it's coming. And it's like, the biggest, the funniest thing I always think of with all my friends was every single person being like, my kids are, there's gonna be no screen time, da, da, da. And like, soon enough, that iPad's right in
Yeah,
front of them.
you want some stories? Yeah. I mean, this is also where parenting advice and research and science really reminds me a lot of the nutritional stuff. And I was in like some of these circles where it's like science-based parenting on Reddit. And I'm like, damn, you're over the top, just like some of the people in the nutritional space. Like, you don't know if this is the reason that that kid is a little like maybe different as they grow up. And a lot of this is like, it's basically like if the kids are taken care of and the parents are happy and they're well fed, like everything else kind of falls into place. And this is like the other day, Liv was having a breakdown, losing her mind like a toddler does. And I'm like, all right, let's go watch Miss Rachel or whatever the hell. Like, because you can have the best intentions as a parent, but when you need a screen to like slow them down and get life done, like you're going to do it. And I don't think you should have these like hard barriers. It's the same thing as like what we tell our clients with the hard rules about nutrition. It's like you be flexible because there's going to be a situation where you're going to eat the cheeseburger and you don't want to feel like shit about it. So like if I give a screen to my kid, I don't feel bad about it. I don't do it every single day for hours, but I'll do it like, and we set timers, dude, and she's so great. Like there's this kit, this play kit called Love Every that we get. It came with this little timer and she loves it. The timer goes off and she knows it's done. And she, being 2.5, doesn't understand the concept of time. And I'll be like, hey baby, how much time do you want? Do you want 10 minutes? And she'll be like, 2 minute. And I'm like, okay, whatever, man. You're gonna learn one day that two is not as many as 10.
And well,
It's
and it's funny because I think it was, maybe it was Paul Bloom. It was a developmental psychologist who was talking about it, and he was having the conversation. Someone's like, "Man, being a developmental psychologist, like, it must be awesome. Like, your kids know." He just started laughing. He's like, "Dude," he's like, "I can't." He's like, "None of this stuff actually works in real life." He's like,
Yeah.
"This is all like abstract." He's, and all the research actually points to parents don't have nearly as much influence over how the kids turn out as we think they do. It's
Yeah.
basically, as long as you don't abuse them and you just give them love, they're going to turn out how they're going to turn out.
Right.
Environment, like their friends, all of these things play such a big role. And it's like, but these parent, you, as a parent, I'm sure, and I don't know again, but I'm sure that you feel this like overwhelming need to A, protect, but also B, to be like, I need to make sure that this kid turns into a good person. How do I do that? And that's where I'm sure that desire for all those rules and like everything you read and trying to do all the stuff. But then it's like you said, with nutrition stuff or anything else, is you get so down that rabbit hole that you go crazy
Right.
and you can't do all these things. And it's just not realistic.
Yeah, and you could as a parent do everything quote unquote correctly, but they could have two friends that completely undermine everything you've ever done. So you just have to hope for the best and create an environment where they feel like safe and loved, and that's my main goal. You know, expose them to lots of cool stuff. Take care of them, take care of other people in their presence so they know like what it's like to, you know, be different. And those are some of the biggest like stresses in my life is like, how do you raise kids in an environment where like, you know, like we're in a good place. Not everyone is. And how do they become not spoiled little crap, little shits who like appreciate the story of where dad came from and how it created this nice little life for them. And that's what I want. And a lot of that is just me being a good person, you know?
Yeah, it's like, you know, that lead by example thing. And so we said we're gonna make this a quick one today. And so like in kind of summation, as someone who doesn't have kids and works with parents, you know, kind of that same idea. Can I just be a good person? Can I be empathetic and understand that, and again, this is in all aspects of coaching, is like understand that your experience is not someone else's. And try to see things as much as possible through their eyes and try to understand. And honestly, just ask questions. Like, that's the big thing. It's just, hey, what's making this hard? Okay, like, what about, like, is, you know, and I actually talk with a lot of my clients about their relationship with their kids, because the biggest stressors for a lot of these people for emotional eating is their kids. And there's a huge guilt that comes along with it to say, like, I'm stressed out because my kid's being an asshole. But having a safe place where they can say that and not be judged is just a big place for them as well, to be able to like, to be like someone who's, you know, maybe not understands it, but can sit and listen and be like, yeah, man, I mean, that would be tough for me. Like, I know what it's like to have a dog that barks at me when he has anxiety. Like, I can't imagine a kid waking up in the middle of the night and being like, daddy, daddy, daddy,
Hey, your
daddy.
kid pooped on the floor. My dog did today too. Ugh, it was the worst. Yeah. But
I
dude,
mean,
that.
that used to be the majority of your stressor, was the cat puking in your shoes.
Dude. Or the cat like just randomly hating me and pooping in my office. I had it, my friend Paul was over one time and he's an ER nurse and he's like, dude, this is nothing. I got it. I'll clean it up. I'm sitting here gagging.
Gagging, like
I'm
hacking up on
like one
you.
of those people. Like cat. Who made me gag? And he's like, I got it. And I was like, thank you, Paul. You're my hero.
Dude, I think about it. The first time I held my brother's oldest son, he was brand newborn, and I'm holding him. And like, there's always the joke that I don't really do with babies. I'm like, once kids are toddlers, they're awesome. I love them, but like babies, I'm like, eh. And all of a sudden, you hear this fart, and they're like, and I'm like, and I was like, oh God, it was the baby's first blowout. And you know, it was like, and it's all over my arms, and they're
Can you
laughing because they go
define
up
for
to the
the
bathroom to
non-mats?
change.
Can you
And I'm
define
just like,
blowout?
oh yeah, blow. And it was all over me. And I'm just like taking my shirt off. I'm like gagging, like trying not to throw up, and I'm so loud about it. They're downstairs and they're all dying laughing because they're all like, whatever, it's poop. And I'm like, wah.
Dude, I have stories that I can't tell. But yeah, dude, you nailed it. Like, especially the moms, like, think like a mom if you're a coach. You know, we take them for granted because everyone seems to have it all figured out. But there's a lot of internal struggle, loss of identity, different body image, hormonal things going on. A lot of people deal with postpartum depression and they hide it very well. So odds are, if you have a parent as a client, you have someone that's dealing with that. So be considerate how you coach and how you communicate because the wrong post at the wrong time, the wrong comment can lose someone's trust, retention, ability to grow your business, and it's just not the right thing to do. Oh, we always think like it what it's like to be them.
Because that's probably who you're going to be working with.
Yeah, they have more money than the 22-year-olds that you might be friends with.
And with that, we will see you guys next week.